No, 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 man. Hey, I told you, I thought country on Thursday was a good idea. I thought that was a good idea, and I told you, you know, I didn't think it was a good idea to get her, but Coachella's already got it. So, you know, if you want to do that, that's fine. My biggest thing is that Sunday night act. I mean, he's been dead like 3 years. But if you guys, you know, if you still have him under contract and you think the AI thing is going to work, that's fine. But I just don't know, man. I mean, he's been dead. But okay. Oh, hey, we're doing the show here. Sorry.
Hey, get out of the comments.
Sorry, man. I was here. Let me hang up. Yeah, I've been doing Reddit here. How are you guys?
Let's do a podcast.
I'm Barry. That's Brian. That's Russ. I'm so excited. We have so much to talk about, including rumors. We don't do them, but man, this week has been rumors.
I think we're going to have to break that rule.
We're
going
to have to break it a little bit.
Yeah. So. It's fine.
We also got some news.
Actual news. Where's my papers? Where's our stone? You're always good at that. Where's the papers?
Oh, yeah. I don't.
I got notes. I got them on my phone.
Yeah. Let me hurry up, guys. Get on it.
All right, guys. How are you? How are you both?
Oh, I'm doing absolutely great. I love Thanksgiving week, and we're here, and I really do. I enjoy the holidays. I really do enjoy this week.
I do too, man. And just real quick, because I said we would, what a great day we had a week ago, right?
Oh, man. Yeah. Yes.
That was so cool. If you guys have not seen our episode where we go to the cavern and talk to Todd Mayo, please look it up. That was so much fun. I'm still giddy about it.
And I couldn't have had a more enjoyable time. And I wondered, you know, I don't know if the show was the best thing we've ever done, but I had a hell of a day.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it was just fun. And honestly, I'm going to say something weird here in reference to that.
Well, you just did already. You said you had a hell of a day. So yeah. You've already
and I like and I like Thanksgiving too. So like I'm all over. I'm so positive today.
Right.
But there was almost a level of comfort from the jump with Todd and that entire just environment.
Yeah.
There was such a comfort level that I got almost too comfortable and was just like, we're just yucking it up around a bonfire or something.
Yeah.
And the next day I'm like, oh my God, there's like five things. We already talked about one of them, but like five things I could have really gone down the road. But I was just too immersed in having just a chit chat. Yeah. And I'll just give you the one thing that stuck out to me the most in my head that I thought of something I wish I would have gone with as far as I know he wouldn't have answered the question completely. I don't know. My guess is he would have danced around it. But the infrastructure that they have in place at the caverns in a short period of time with Todd Mayo as the leader of this entire thing. There's no chance Live Nation isn't sniffing around every few months. Hey,
that's a good point.
You want to sell this?
Good
you want to sell it? Yeah. Add it to the portfolio or music or some subsidiary, like, I don't know, Marathon Music Works in Nashville or something. Like, somebody is saying, can we purchase this from you, please? You know that's come around. Yeah. And I would love to know.
That's what they do. That's how they got so big. They buy everything up.
So I would have loved to have known the answer to that, and it would have. I can already probably frame the answer now. But anyway,
hear from them. Saying
wonderful
yay
time.
Or nay. Yeah, it was just so cool. Mm-hmm. And I told some folks from C3. I said, please listen to this. I said, he's a great interview. And Brian, you and I talked about it. And Russ, when we were standing in the parking lot, he's kind of like the guy from Subaru, your friend. He understands.
Oh, yeah.
He understands.
Patrick.
Understands how to do a good interview. I mean, right? I mean, it was just so much fun.
Well, he understands how to build a music venue out of a hole in the ground, how to write books that actually sell and inspire, and create music destination festivals and television programming and streaming on live radio. Like, the guy kind of understands a lot.
Yeah.
It was cool. It was a lot of fun. But we have a lot to get to. You both have had busy weeks. I'm sort of, Russ, where do we start? Russ went up to Nashville for a Bonnaroo
meetup.
Yeah,
let's paint.
You want to start there? Back with Bonnaroo News, with Trueroo and all that? Which one?
We'll get to that. Let's start with the takeover in Nashville, because I'm curious about it.
Yeah.
And you went to the only area of Nashville that I am very familiar with, and I was like, man, that's my brother lives like 10 minutes away.
you would have loved it. It was awesome.
All right.
So,
where was it at?
So this is a place called Rosemary and Beauty Queen. This is a bar, I guess, in like East Nashville.
East Nasty is some of us could say. They get a little irritated by that, but
awesome spot. This is a place that's like obviously just an old house that somebody converted into a bar, and there's a huge building with the bar inside. Out back there's a huge patio. There's another bar back there, and then on top of that there's a rooftop bar. With you feel like you're sitting up in a treehouse. All the trees are up there. The bar there, it's actually rope swings that you're sitting on when you sit down at the bar. So
rope swings,
super cool spot. It kind of felt like we're in the woods. So Bonnaroo did a takeover of this entire place. This was, I guess, Corey's idea because he was the one that was there running it. But
Corey Smith, friend of the show, Corey Smith, the marketing guy. So this was official.
This
point
was
that
official.
Out,
this
right?
Was
this was a
Bonnaroo
meetup, but it was more than just a bunch of like us people. It was
yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Super last minute. I think they announced this what Thursday.
It was last minute.
Just like 2 or 3 days ahead of time. So like, I don't know if they were expecting not a lot of people would show up, but it was huge. So this happened yesterday, Saturday. And so I was like, I feel like I should go. I mean, you guys should have gone too. It was
so what they were, the spicy pie was there.
Free spicy pie.
And it was free. That's pretty awesome.
We got a couple of slices of that. This was, it wasn't the official spicy pie. It was spicy pie provided by, there's a little local pizzeria nearby that they got them from.
Inspired.
It was pepperoni and jalapeno.
We all know. We talked about this. The spicy pie thing is a little bit of lore. I mean, it's pretty good. It's fine.
Hey,
I don't care.
If it's free, you can't really complain.
Just give me a big New York style.
It's going to
hit. Exactly.
Give me some New York style pizza. I'll take it every day.
So, yeah, I got to hang out with Corey. Met a lot of people that are fans of the show. Shout out to all them.
Yeah.
Hang out with JB, our buddy JB. Who else? Celia from Roo Fitness. Saw her. Shout out to Nick. He's with the Bonnaroo Works Fund. Huge fan of the show. Thank you for listening. And we'd love to get him on at some point and talk about that.
Yeah.
They got planned for next year.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Common John, the brewery down in Manchester, right?
I did meet John from Common John. I was like, are you the Common John? He was like, I'm a John.
Was he common or was he a little extra?
He was. He's common enough. Talk to him. He did confirm that Common John is going to do another beer next year. They loved what they put out last year and looking forward to doing that again.
I would implore them to make a different style of beer this go around. That peach wheat thing was a little out there, but the can, we've all talked about, was beautiful. It's still sitting over here with my Bonnaroo junk, and it always will. Even though all the arguments was, well, is that all right? Maybe. It looks awesome.
It's amazing.
It's so great. Yeah.
The waterfalls and rainfalls or whatever it is.
So how many folks?
Rainbows and waterfalls.
How many people were there, Russ?
It was probably, the place was packed. And, since it's different areas, you had people inside, you had people outside, you had people on the roof, you had people in different bars. I mean, there was probably 100 or so people there.
Wow.
Easy.
That's cool.
Now, whether they were all there for the Bonnaroo takeover, who knows? Because it is, open
bar. Yeah, it's neat. East Nashville on a Saturday night is going to have a lot of hipsters out all the way around, which is why I love the area so much.
Oh, yeah. I do want to shout out Sparkle City Disco. This is a DJ duo out of Nashville. They were playing music all night long, and I can confirm they will be at Bonnaroo as well. So if you like that kind of stuff, there's a little news.
And we're going to try to do one in Chattanooga, right? You asked Corey about doing one here?
I talked to Corey. I said, you know, this is awesome. What if we put something like this on in Chattanooga? And Corey said, I would love to. Let's plan it and get something down. So
I want to be careful that we weren't PBR drunk planning in East Nashville.
Right.
Taco.
Right.
Like, it's fun to talk about having a big Bonnaroo party. It's a lot of work to actually do it.
I agree.
I am for the idea.
Well, if we put something together, Corey will bring, you know, they had the big inflatable arch out front. They'll bring that. I mean, they'll bring.
Did they have any special, like, come here and raffle something away, or maybe an entry for ticket giveaway? Was there any kind of incentive outside of just, hey, you like Bonnaroo, come hang out with other people that like Bonnaroo?
That was pretty much it. The main draw was they didn't really have giveaways. Well, they did have, he had some leftover merch. I guess he just
2020 bandanas. Closet. Does he still have 2020 bandanas?
Yeah, they had, you know,
it's the easiest thing to come by is a 2020 bandana.
They
take
were giving
two.
Away lots of stuff.
Take three.
Yeah, take all you want.
I still see the people we know. I can't, the names are escaping me now when they're shooting other things around or whatever capacity they're working, and there's that 2020 bandana wrapped around everything. Mm-hmm.
I love it. That's funny.
So the other big draw they had was this mailbox, and I sent you a picture of it.
Yeah.
So this is a postcards to Rue. They had these postcards, which I got one here.
What a good idea! Postcard.
Out.
Yeah.
Mailbox.
Yeah. This
what a
to
fabulous
you.
Idea.
Yeah.
Did it?
I
and
your theory out.
Did it
and
look
your
like
theory
Christmas?
As to where this
was it right?
Your theory of where this comes from, Taco.
Well, we had a nut butter mailbox for years, still do.
Yep.
That's right.
And kind of similar thing. So, you know, I had to give Corey a hard time about that. But
well,
I love it because
Bonnaroo's copied us.
It's not the first time.
A couple times when I say us, more y'all with me, kind of like an ancillary. But that reminds me, and that's why I wore this gear today.
I love it.
Oh yeah,
it's awesome.
This is 10 years ago here in Chattanooga with our buddy jerk friend, but love him to death, Brad Steiner.
Jerk.
The Bonnaroo lineup announcement megathon, blam, that was done across the country in many many markets, and there was a lot. Bonnaroo put a lot into this. It was kind of. It wasn't that cool, actually. I mean, it was a bit. It was fun, but it was really kind of gimmicky and goofy. I think Weird Al had a lot to do with some of
the
headpiece where he was like, "Hey, coming up, yeah." He's like, "I love Weird Al, but I don't know if I really need him on this." But the turnout we had, and that was we nothing. That was a Brad and radio station promotion. Now, radio station promotions are going to be a hell of a lot more. More reach than something that's as niche as what we do, but that doesn't mean we can't do it. But it was a nice turnout; it was a lot of fun. There's Elton John year, and they were announcing the lineup in waves throughout the night. It was a lot of fun. We're not going to be able to do anything like that, but we certainly could do something.
We could
similar.
Certainly put on something similar to
just
what
a hangout.
We had in Nashville. Yeah, just a hangout.
And along those lines, and we still haven't figured out the details, but we have tickets to give away.
Yeah, we got
do.
Time
we
to figure
that
out, too.
Still figuring it out, but we have.
Let's not get too off track. So these postcards, you would fill them out, and it asks you, you know, favorite room memory or just something, you know, anything. And then you drop it in the mailbox. And I asked Corey, what are you planning to do with all this? And they're not even sure yet. He said, we might pick some of these and show them on the screens between sets, you know? He said, we might paper some of them up on a fence line somewhere so you can walk by and read them. They're still dreaming up stuff for this thing. But
no, that's a great idea because it's going to get it more for the person who participates than the random person walking down the street. And but the word of, hey, my thing is on this thing, check it out, will also spread around, and my buddy and this guy, and hey, look, like that's a really cool and inexpensive, simple,
postcards and
I like that. Love that idea.
So and then one last thing, I have some news to share from Corey. He and his wife are expecting a baby girl in June.
Nice. Congratulations, man. Mm-hmm.
Congrats.
That's awesome.
I hope you're Festival, your festival career aspirations don't die now.
Your world just changed, my friend.
No more Bonnaroo meets up for you in East Nashville, buddy.
I'll see you in June and then never again.
Because isn't Corey a Knoxville guy? Corey's a Knoxville guy. Yeah. So he traveled for that.
God love you.
Yeah, and he said he would travel to Chattanooga if we put one on there, too. But
I would say, real quick, especially since we got this news and the clock's ticking, Corey, we're not doing it unless you come down here and do it with us, because we need some guidance here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you seem to be the guy who's got, you know, these ideas together better than us. We kind of half-ass throw them against the wall.
So,
but he said they're super – I still got more. They're super pleased with the pre-sale so far. He feels like all of the core Bonnaroo people have really come out and supported and bought tickets and are spreading the word. He feels like just Bonnaroo's back in a big way. This is kind of a continuation on from last year when they talked about the Renaissance.
Well, let's just say, based on the pre-show meeting, that he had a lot of positive things to say about the pre-sale. Mm-hmm. The early goings on of the pre-sale, that the numbers are making them very, very happy. And we won't put it because it wasn't all on the record of what he said, but I think it's fair enough to say they are happy, very happy with it.
Yeah, we can share that. They're very happy. He did confirm Tipper is going to be on the lineup. And, you know, that was the Festival leak that came out a few days ago. So that is true.
Come back to that in a minute for a couple minutes for sure.
Not going to be a headliner, though. Just to be clear, that is, he's on the lineup, but there's still that, you know, mystery Thursday headliner spot that we don't really.
Well, that's the natural place to think that that's where an artist like that might show up, but maybe not. And, I looked around, asked a few people, our guy Brad being one of them, like, what do you think about this? Where would you slot it? And anywhere from a Thursday night headliner to a tent show and a other late night or something.
Yeah,
like
I'm
that.
Assuming it's going to be on the other. I don't think it's, you know, on the main stage or anything like that. But who knows?
Well, we can touch back on that in a minute. So what are you? You
keep talking,
wrap
Russ.
Up?
I'm afraid to talk. Every time I do.
No, I mean, it's got, a Russ takeover of the show. Let's go.
Me. He's killing me.
It was just so much going on.
No, I love that you did that. I love that you did that.
Fun to hang out with JB. Totem is, in fact, planning their own little party there at that same location in January. The Totem Foundation that was started by Daniel and Sharla and, you know, got a bunch of people involved now. You know, probably an opportunity to go back if you want to check it out here in a few months.
Yeah, look up, if you don't know what we're talking about, Totem, they have their own website. You can do a search. I'm on that board, actually. Totem, the idea is to basically introduce music festivals as a way of life for young people. It's a really cool thing.
And you know what I will say, what I've noticed a little bit, guys, is that Bonnaroo is starting to do something a little similar. I'd have to pull it up, but these helping students to get into the festival and in different aspects. And I was like, I bet Daniel and them over there are like, wasn't that kind of our idea first? Bonnaroo ain't they're not ashamed.
No.
They steal ideas from us.
I
want
to come back to that.
Yeah.
That's where I was going to go when Russ interrupted me again for interrupting him.
So let's do that.
And along those lines, real quick, if you haven't listened, the Ruham guys have a great episode. If you're into the rumor, and you know who might be going, give a shout out to Jake and Parker and Michael. Really, really good episode. I love those guys. So again, now bringing it back to Russ, because I can tell you're not done. I see you looking at your list.
I think I got it all.
Okay. What I was going to say was, again, this fact that you ran into Corey. He and Brad are everywhere. I mean,
yes.
if you guys are at all into festivals and don't think that people are listening, am I saying that right?
Yeah.
They're everywhere. I mean, yeah, they have been so busy this week answering questions, reaching out. I mean, it's pretty amazing. It's pretty cool.
Well, the way I'll look at that and dissect it super fast is that between those two guys, first, Brad's got a style we've talked about, and it's very, I guess captivating is the right word. It grabs your attention regardless if you like what he's saying or not. And it's a little theatrical. He just knows what he's doing. And mm-hmm. and so having him so immersed in the socials and talking and chatting with people when it's not an AMA, ask me anything on Reddit, like that gets set up for a specific, spend an hour asking anything. Bonnaroo, is Bonnaroo Brad on the Discord?
Yeah.
Is that him?
Discord. That's
okay.
Him.
Yeah.
By the way,
another
I'm on Discord.
Of how plugged in he is.
That's
yeah.
him.
I'm on. Yeah, finally, I'm on yeah. Discord. Everybody, yeah, by the way, can we shut up about that? All right. So, but I scanned through it and I was like, Bonnaroo Brad is really in deep with a lot of these conversations, very civil and very informative. And then Corey's a real pragmatic, simple, like keep it to the point, not screwing around, no nonsense, but still very. Get along with everybody. I'm a friendly, agreeable mm-hmm. type. And so you put those two, and Brad's a little, I would say, closer to Brad Parker, more to a disagreeable-ish type, but in a fun way. Just meaning there's a little yin-yang there between the two of them.
He likes poking, shaking the cage.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I meant by a little.
Yeah, I think it's fun. It's great
yeah.
fun.
Yeah.
Oh, I do too. I do too. So I think the two of them being so involved is really a good move, there, whether it's yeah. just done because they want to do it or it's done because it was mandated to do it. I don't know, but it's working. I think it's working.
Well, I wanted to point that out because we've gotten several on our Discord, but even private either DMs or emails from people who's like, oh, my God, they actually responded. I had mm-hmm. a problem. And I got a message from them, you know, or directly. So,
yeah, the days of saying
deal,
we,
man. That's
the days of saying
deal.
We don't pay attention to this stuff is over.
Yeah,
because we all knew you were lying. Not you, not them. Just the well, we don't pay attention to that. You're lying. You do.
Yeah,
we all do. Now I know if your mentions are so deep you can't get to all of them. I mean, that's a problem I don't have. So I get that can happen. But yeah, they're responsive and it's a really, really good, it's just a really good look.
It's a good thing and it's double illustrated, Russ, with your night last night. I mean, you go to Nashville yes. and you're hanging with the dude.
I'm hanging with Corey, yeah. Right.
I mean, well, now yeah, I want to do one here more than ever, and we got the perfect spot. We just mentioned it in the pre-show meeting earlier. Just
yep,
as
we got
a
an
local
idea.
Place.
Yep. Yep.
But, you know, there's always that anxiety of throwing a party. I don't want to throw a party that I don't know, that we don't RSVP to. Come on, like, I don't yeah. know. But well, that, if we do it at our local place, it's just down the street from most of us.
Yeah, if we us three show up, I don't care.
Nothing cool. else.
Yeah, we'll nobody else shows up, it'll be fine.
We'll have a Delta 9 seltzer and a murder burger.
And a murder burger, yeah. and it's a good night. So
yeah. Right. Yeah, anyway, Corey confirmed to me, he said they're looking 20 years out, not just Bonnaroo. They want to keep this thing going as long as possible, not just the festival, but Corey and Brad. They love this job. They want to keep doing it as long as they
well,
can.
Well, so he should have considered that when he chased his wife down because his life is just about over. So, yeah. You know,
you sound like me, Mary.
I've things. Been there, dude. I know what's coming. He doesn't.
But you know that you got out on the other side.
I am. That's exactly right. Yeah, it's good knowing you, Corey. Good to see you, man.
Yeah. My concern right, when I say stuff like that is, I don't know if he'll ever come out on the other side. I know you did.
Yeah. Well, it takes a minute. It's funny. No, I'm happy for them. That's awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome. What a fun night.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
There's been a lot of news as far as like ticket sales. We mentioned that they're doing well.
Yeah, we can spend a minute or two on this. Yeah, there's a couple things. Right. There's a couple things I'd like to talk about here, but just because of the you know, the temperature of the Reddit room and the other rooms that I looked at, and I only scan this stuff. I don't read everything that's that happens, but I try to get a good enough read on the pulse. And ticket sales are good. From what we're told, but they're still convoluted. This is just a new world we live in, and it's just kind of hard to know for sure immediately what you're looking at, what you're doing, the add-ons, all these different things. But the biggest thing that stuck out to me which I think is a major change, but maybe it's not as a major change as I thought, the re-entry automobile fee that has not really – I haven't got the exact – specifics of how it works, but so effectively on the farm, park your car, you need to leave to go to the gas station, to go to Starbucks, to go to Walmart, to go home, which I've done countless times, drive an hour home and back. They're going to charge either a flat fee for maybe an unlimited pass to come in and out, or a single per time you leave. Obviously, what the reason here is to discourage anybody from leaving, and right. To devil's advocate the whole thing and just say, okay, I hear you. It's probably not that safe to have cars just whenever they feel like driving around through the campgrounds, coming and going, passing off their pass. Hey, I'm leaving on Tuesday, which people are still going to do that. And then you just charge them, you know, you make a couple extra bucks and they'll bring a car in with the, with a camping tag. That kind of stuff's going to happen.
They're but not locking you in. They just want to discourage it.
They want to discourage it. And the best way to discourage it is to charge people.
Charge them.
And make money. I don't really have a problem with this. But it's a 20-year change.
Yeah,
you know, it's a 20-year, here's how this goes. It almost be like moving the arch to the other side of the farm. It's always been over there. Well, we think it'd be better over here. Well, maybe it will be. But, like, you know, it's still a shock to the system of people who want to run out, have a good system. Because some people, you know, you've done this for years, no matter where you're camping. You know how to position your car to where you can get in and get out. You can be gone before anybody knows you're gone. And you can come back with 10 bags of ice, a couple of coffees, and make everybody's morning a delight when they wake up to ice and coffee that, yeah, you could do on the farm somewhere. You could walk around and maybe get a coffee and maybe get some ice, but not really, not the way you want to. That's a big part of the festival that really is a luxurious option to be able to keep. I mean, ice is king. Ice is gold bars. Ice is, you ice know, is, and cold drinks. And,
I mean, you guys have been out in GA. I didn't think you could leave if you were in GA. I just thought it was just us and the guest and whatever that could leave.
No, you can come and go. Yeah, you could come and go. I don't know. I don't know what.
I mean, I was kind of just packed you in your. All the camping sites that I've ever seen, you were in. There was
I don't really see how you could leave.
You're right,
certainly. Majority of those when you're walking through the GA, and you're never going to see the majority of them because it's 400 or 600 acres. But people's cars become part of their their entire setup,
right.
And yeah, a lot of those people aren't probably leaving, but. Plenty do. I mean, I've had satellite camps where I was staying with people in the last 5-6 years. Came a little late, met up with them, sent a bunch of stuff, and then those cars were coming and going every time. That's just
because the other thing that, and they've done this to us, you guys are aware, they've tried to limit us to how many cars, vehicles. They've tried to say, can the three of you come in one car?
Well, that's what they're trying to do with the carpool.
And that's what they're trying to
there.
Do now. I don't. We need to probably get Brad on to talk about it. I don't know why that's such a big deal. There's plenty of space. It seems to me, anyway. It's not like 80,000 people are bringing in 80,000 vehicles, or maybe they are. So I don't quite understand why in the last 3, 4, 5 years this has become such a big deal. But well, it certainly is. You know,
if you do re-enter, part of it is you got to get searched again, which means you have to have more staff manpower. It's more manpower. Clogs up the line of people still trying to come in, you know, for their first time. So, yeah, I mean, I guess there's logistically it's tough to let people
And it's
re-enter.
Unbridled capitalism here. They want to make a couple extra bucks. It's a way to do it.
And it's a way to do it, yep.
Okay.
It's a way to do it.
I mean, you know, the other thing is they're doing single day tickets. So that's, you know, cars coming in and out. So I don't know. I really am. I haven't thought about it too much as to why this is such a big issue.
Kind of a foreign concept to me to actually leave. You know, I'm, once I get in and I'm set up, you know, once I can't leave. The bus is not drivable once it's set up.
I'll give you.
I have never left.
Me either.
The moment I got on the farm to the moment I went home.
It takes the magic. I've never
it burst the bubble.
Burst the bubble. I don't want to leave. Yeah.
I don't know. I've had a few of those. I've been in charge of some of those runs.
I get it. I get it. I understand that, you know, sometimes you do need to leave, and it's important, and it's good to.
And they are glorious.
I'm glad to get the ice and the aspirin and medicine and Mm-hmm.
And it's super easy. But I guess to advocate on the side of I wish. It would be the way it's always been, is that we have created, we collectively, the Bonnaroo spirit, the Bonnaroo brass on down to the attendee. This is a city. You know, this is a city that we live in temporarily. And most people, I wish everybody would take that very seriously, like from your neighbors and how you operate and how you handle yourself and how your patience levels work and all those things. And part of that orbit was, if we really need something, I can just get out of here and go get it and be back before you even knew I was gone. That comes to me along with the idea of we've created a city. People don't create cities where you're not allowed to leave. So
right.
That's Truman Show. That's a movie. Yeah. Like real life is we're in a city. We're all in this together. And I need to run to the Walmart. And that's where I'm going to go. But so now they're not saying you can't do that. They're just saying we're going to charge.
Brad said on our Discord, we'd rather you don't. They don't want you to. It's a safety thing and
total of safety issue.
Something has happened to make it be a big deal, and I don't know.
Yeah, and it's probably it might be nothing more than just overworked toll booth workers.
Could be.
It could be no more than that.
Could be.
They don't have to tell us the reason.
That's a great point.
that doesn't have to be information they care to share.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is talking about Blam here locally with our announcement party. There was also, why am I losing my train of thought? What the hell was I talking about?
I don't know.
Jesus. My bad.
That's all right.
We were talking about Brad and back. Corey.
Okay. So the other...
Some more coffee.
Yeah, we're come around. There's some ticketing things and stuff like that, there are changes, but nothing...
Oh, let me do one more on that real quick.
Okay.
Because I saw a lot of people talking about this last night. GA Plus, which is a ticket option, which is now standard across all festivals for the most part.
Yeah.
I didn't go to the site last night. It was late when I was going through the Reddit pages and Discord. The talk is it's $300 more than the regular GA. If that's true, anywhere near that number, that's a real sit down and think about what you're doing here.
Yeah.
That's not a $100 add-on, $50 add-on. That's basically doubling the price of your ticket.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. So GA starts at $389. GA Plus starts at $695.
Okay, so it's more than $300. $304. Yeah. And so after reading what the amenities were for that, I already knew what they were just from like a periphery hearing about. If they get bathrooms that are air-conditioned trailer types that we're used to in some areas we've been to, if they get those and they're readily available and they can be used regularly, that's a pretty big perk. And then there's like several others where you can get some free waters and free Cokes. If, and some of the complaints were, yeah, but they're in areas that are so overcrowded. I don't even want the free Coke. I can't get to the line to get it. Right. You know, like that's a very not surprising thing that some people ran into. But that's anecdotal. Somebody else goes to a place that doesn't have a line, drinks all the free water and has a clean bathroom and AC'd out, which... It's just a game changer. I don't want to talk about bathroom habits. But my God, if you've got one of those trailers where you can, it's such a comfortable experience that changes everything.
Yeah, it does.
I agree.
Is it worth double the ticket price? That is open for discussion for everybody else.
It does, it's a bargain. Friday night at midnight and you got to go.
Yeah.
Here's my $300.
Yeah.
It's a bargain if you consider they also announced this year the Rue Insider Pass starting at $26,000.
Yeah, that's got a lot of, I mean, that's got some attention.
I have that right here.
I don't know if you wrote that down.
Does that bother you? It doesn't bother me.
It doesn't bother me. What I didn't realize this on my own until I read some more other people talking about it, and it made all the sense in the world. It's one of those extravagant, eye-popping kind of things that just lessers the blow on the realistic stuff. That's one person's thought of just like, this is one of those marketing tactics. Buy this crazy thing. Well, no. Are you nuts? Oh, well, I guess this one's only $300, yeah, not $26,000.
There's that, and there's also it's the corporate thing. And I mean, I don't have a – I'm not going to spend it because I don't have it. But it doesn't bother me. It certainly doesn't make me mad that they offer it.
No.
You know?
No, it's fine.
I think it's silly, and I would think anybody who purchased it would be also silly, but that person's probably so beyond wealthy and powerful in America that I have no idea how to evaluate.
You get your own golf cart.
Yeah. There you go. You get your golf cart, and you get to...
I mean, we get a golf cart if we try hard, huh?
Yeah.
But I mean, hey, listen, whatever works for you. They're sitting at the there's a part of it I think I read there was you get to sit in the sound booth
right
in the, you know, the soundboard. Yeah, does the sound guy know about this yet?
Well,
yeah, he's probably not gonna be happy.
But I think there's the caveat is as long as the band allows it.
It's like the photo access kind of thing.
Yeah. That'd be funny. You know, anyway.
But as far as tickets going on sale, that's got most of it for me. I guess maybe talk about Tipper here for a minute.
Yeah.
This leak, it's a little interesting how it got leaked. Festival, I don't care about these kinds of things. I don't get a laugh out of it. I don't want to like pile on and whatever, but he got the Coachella thing wrong, or they got the Coachella thing wrong a little bit, and so then there was a ton of backpedaling, and then everybody's like, you're an idiot, like all this stupid stuff. Generally, Festival's information is quite good, and he's the one who got the Tipper thing out there. And then,
well, we caught a leak. It's not really a leak. I mean, you know how this works.
He's fed what they want him to know. Yeah, it's just like any other inside reporting from the White House to the clubhouse at the Philadelphia Washington game this weekend. Yeah. Same kind of concept. And so I start looking at this, and I don't really know who Dave Tipper is all that much. Goes back a long ways. I thought one of the comments that got a lot of backlash, but I thought a lot of it was pretty interesting and funny discourse, was from Reddit, Tipper is just the Grateful Dead of EDM. People thought that was the most absurd thing they've ever heard, or one of the more, actually, maybe so. Like, this Dave Tipper's legacy inside this versions of music that he didn't really get started doing until the rave 90s takeoff, the My Life with the Thrill Kill Cult years, and okay. Tracy Lords, if you remember, when she got into mm-hmm. this kind of stuff for a few minutes, and there's two or three others, and that's when he started doing that more and more, coming out of the more 80s synth, a different version of electronic music, right? Right? Like, that's not the EDM that anybody recognizes. But in the 90s, that started to take off. That's when Tipper did. He's from England. I don't know how much presence he's had in the U.S. over the last 30 years, but it's a legacy act. Tipper is a legacy act.
There you go. Isn't that funny?
Yeah. I mean, by definition of how we look at legacy acts and how we call the, you know, that buzz terminology, that's what he is. So then we start talking. I've asked a few people who know logistics of concerts, Brad Steiner being one of them. I said, handicap this for me. Just if you were taking guesses and, you know, pretended like you wanted to be on your own show one of these days, tell me about what you think. And he said a Thursday headliner makes sense. An early somewhere else makes sense with a other late night. I mean, that's kind of stuff we all could mostly agree. But from what we understand, Taco, and you just had the conversation this weekend, that the headliner portion of this for Tipper is not part of the discussion. So to expect him to headline anywhere is not accurate.
Correct.
So that opens up where and more debate and rumor and conversation, which I think is good for this time of year.
Yeah, it's fun.
But he was on, real quick too, he was on the 2021 lineup. Did you guys see this? Do you guys remember?
Yeah, I remember the name.
He was on the 2021 lineup on Friday on the second line with the bolder letters on the second mm-hmm. line, not of the whole festival, of just Friday. And sorry, I pulled it up. I don't know. Yeah, just next to Deftones and Glass Animals. So, I mean, it's right behind Deftones and Glass Animals on that Friday. So he already had a pretty a good position for the 2021 lineup, which if you go back and look at this, guys, we talk about 2020 being good. 2021 was really good.
Yeah. 2021, to me, I thought was better.
I don't know if I'd go that far, but boy, they are close. There's a lot of crossover, too.
Yeah.
By the time it got to 22, most of crossover was gone. So I don't know. We'll see. I think that's neat. You know,
We'll see where it goes. I want to dedicate pretty soon. I talked to you guys off air a whole episode soon to EDM, and not just rumors. I don't want to do rumors, but I want to figure out somehow we can do a whole show on EDM, because as we've said on here many, many, many times, it's so big. It's not just one genre. It's so many things, and this is a good example. So we're going to do that very, very soon.
Oh, Tipper is a huge example. I'd like to talk to somebody who knows his career more and know more about it. I try to do when you've got a 40-year career, it's tough to skim that. And then come into a show and act like, "Hey, let me tell you about this guy."
Yeah, but I mean,
Tipper,
you just said it—a legacy. That's
which I think is great, because I love legacy acts.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, what else you got, Brian?
Well, I wanted to mention just quickly some of the festival lineups are dropping all so fast we can't keep up.
Yeah,
like so much for the festival industry is not holding up right now. So much for the, you know, everybody's canceling and maybe they're in trouble. I mean, yeah, some have fallen off. There's so many. I won't get into the weeds of the smaller ones, like Suwannee down here close to us with Government Mule and at the Halloween place where the same location where Greg Allman used to have the Allman Jam and all that. That's awesome for us if we want to do that. Sweetwater 420 is back in a bigger way than they've been, with the revivalist Marcus King, Green Sky, and then one of my favorite bands, dearest favorite bands, Drive By Truckers, in April, which Sweetwater 420 was always a possibility for me for many years, and I've done it four or five times. And I know this is one that's near and dear to you, Taco, because you've done it many times recently, and I used to a lot. Shaky Knees.
Yeah,
in Atlanta, which is really picked. I mean, it's got some national recognition of a really good festival, and it's a middle-aged rock festival. So a bunch of us middle-aged guys like that kind of stuff. Well, they have moved their they have moved this thing all over. They've moved it from Central Park, where it's been the last couple of years. It used to be in Centennial Park down by the football stadium and you know, all the Olympic stuff in downtown Chattanooga, which I think is a really good spot. But now they're going to Piedmont Park. Have either of you been to Piedmont Park in a while?
Or I have ever? Not.
No.
I don't know if I ever have.
It's, well, Music Midtown, the last now defunct version of Music Midtown was at Piedmont Park. And I've been to other festivals. A friend of mine used to live nearby there. It's a beautiful park. It's a gorgeous, perfect park where they do the side-by-side staging. One ends, one starts. One ends, one starts. And you can be sitting in the middle and never leave, or you can do whatever you want to do. So I think that'll be that'll make Shaky Knees look and feel very different, but I think only good things could come out of that, because that Central Park, that Central Park wasn't great, because you go from concrete to up on a baseball field to like a soccer portion. Like, it's kind of a city park, but
yeah. I mentioned it to Corey real quick. He said, you know, moving it to from Central Park to Piedmont Park, it's get a lot more space, and he said it
a lot more space to
book a lot bigger headliners.
Yeah, that's awesome.
He didn't get any names, but you know, he did mention that
it's a lot more space in the sense that it's just one huge nowhere. There's no mystery here. Like, you don't got to go around the corner and go find the emerging all that. Like, here it is. It's just this big rectangular stretch, and it's very easy to understand. I would love to go back to Shaky Knees. That May and June is getting busy real quick.
Well, I don't know if it's going to be in May. They haven't announced the dates yet, actually.
Well, it's usually been in late April, early May. So
correct,
we'll see.
But
we'll
there's some rumor that it might get, since they changed locations, they might have to push it back later in the year, possibly.
And then a couple more locals here, or not locals, festivals. One is local, and the other one's close. We just left, and we didn't talk about it because we didn't ask him about tease us with things coming up. Mm-hmm. Cave Jam. They're, you know, in Memorial Day weekend with String Cheese again for the full weekend, and plenty of undercard blue grassish stuff.
Yeah.
Boy,
Andy
I'd love
Frasco.
Yeah.
I want to go, and I want to camp.
I want to camp too. And I want to do, you know, I want to treat that one like Bonnaroo and do some interviews and hang out and make a big week. I mean, I am excited after seeing
I'm
that
glad
property.
To hear you guys say that. I'm glad you
said that. Yeah.
In the bright sunshine on a 68 degree day, you know, and just being able to get a good eye view on the whole place. I'm in love.
Yeah. It's awesome.
With the caverns.
It's awesome.
Yes.
And I want to go spend, and I hate camping other than doing it at Bonnaroo, and I want to go spend a weekend there.
Could you not see yourself with your hands behind your back up on that amphitheater, you know, just listening to whatever? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's awesome.
String Cheese? I mean, they're not my favorite. I would love a weekend of some String.
And I wanted to say, only because Russ, I think you probably noticed it too. Coachella, Kraftwerk, really?
I did see that.
I figured you probably did. Maybe
I
we get them
that.
On the.
Help
farm.
Me remember oh, what me. You're talking about.
You were talking prog rock, right? I mean, these guys invented it.
Talk about a legacy electronic act.
Yeah,
talking about Coachella right now.
Yeah, it's on Coachella, but I'm the fact that Kraftwerk is performing. I mean, just
the interesting thing with Coachella
right out at me. I couldn't believe it. So
the interesting thing with Coachella that a lot of people are talking about through the socials is their timing for a lot of this stuff. It feels like they're being deliberate with right around Bonnaroo dates. I don't know if that's true or not.
Good point. I also want to know the Misfits. How did they get?
Oh, and the Misfits. Yeah, I figured those are the two.
How did
I
they? Well,
you
if you look at the lineup. It's and the only
I,
band that uses their logo.
It. I had Misfits ready to talk about, because it's also in there. The only, just this doesn't mean anything, but the only font that's different on the entire Coachella list
exactly
is the Misfits. I can't do it. Sorry. Misfits in their actual font for some weird reason. And then I looked and I was like, well, hold on. Who is the Misfits anymore?
It's the original Misfits.
It's the original. Yep. And you know they're going to, Danzig's going to be there playing some Danzig too.
I love
it. That's going to be a really fun show. So that's huge for Coachella. Right. But for me, every year Coachella, this sounds like it's not true and it's just someone making something up or it's just not always that accurate. But man, everything going on out west in a lot of, outside of the headliners, that's a different world. We're about 10 years behind on trends, on technologies, on innovations, and a lot of things from the east to the west. And so for me to not know what most anything on a Coachella lineup, that's how it's been since I've ever heard of Coachella.
Yeah.
Like every year I look at Coachella and it's loaded with stuff I've never heard of. But the top of it seems fine to me. Post, Charlie XXX, Misfits, Gaga, Elliot. I mean, top's fine. Top's fine for me.
Go-Go's. I mean, Go-Go's in there too. Wow, oh, they're pulling some people out of retirement.
I didn't see the Go-Go's.
I didn't either till just now. But yeah,
T-Pain,
Misfits,
T-Pain, of course, Tacos guy.
Misfits plays
every festival in the history of the world.
Yeah,
maybe Bonnaroo can get Kraftwerk. That would be awesome.
I would love that.
I don't know, man, but it makes me feel good about where this lineup could be going because so many of these are really doing pretty well overall. They're getting a lot of fan positivity feedback.
Correct.
And the last one that I want to mention from, this is the last one that I have on my notes. About 20 years ago, after Bonnaroo's jam band thing was taken off in the first 3-4 years, out in West Virginia or Maryland or somewhere over near coal country, there was the All Good Festival. And it was a hippy dippy, like kids, young people, 20, where all of us were in our early 20s. I didn't end up going, but so many people I did. And it was all jam stuff, and people loved it. Just, maybe it was youthful ignorance, and maybe it was awful. I don't know. Well, they've now brought All Good Now back, which is just a revamped version. Have y'all seen this?
Mm-mm. No.
It's a week before, it's the same weekend as Bonnaroo. And this was who mostly people were fighting over, where is Goose going this year? Mm-hmm. Where are they going to be in the prime spot of the summer? Well, the answer is All Good Now. They're the headliners, along with Joe Russo's Almost Dead, String Cheese Incident. This thing's obviously set up for Disco Biscuits. Daniel Donato, Pigeons and Ping Pong, and it's Keller Williams. It's set up for the jam community. So I thought that was pretty cool they're doing that again, except this is not really a festival. This is one of those, you kind of, I don't want to call it bait and switch, but it's just at an amphitheater for 2 nights. Mm. So it's like, tonight at the amphitheater, this shows.
Yeah.
The next night at the amphitheater, these shows.
Gotcha.
Go home. It's just 2 nights of a bunch of shows, like Lollapalooza 30 years ago. But anyway,
they
that's
got
back,
one of the
and
Neil Francis's. And Mo.
Do they have one of the Neil Francis's?
Yeah, one of the Neil Francis.
Oh, shit. I just missed Mo.
Mo's
going to be there. Yeah. I mean, Mo is jam band royalty, and they're on the bottom of the list.
Eggy. Yeah. Interesting.
Grateful Gospel, so you know there's going to be... Oh, that's Keller's Grateful Gospel, so you know you're going to get some dead in there somewhere.
Yep.
So, yeah, I just thought that was neat. I'm not going out to Maryland for that, but I thought that was neat.
Let's talk about country real quick.
Country's
huge. Yeah. Right. Especially with... Country might be bigger than ever right now.
Oh, you mean like the Thursday rumor? Is that
that's part of it.
Is that where you're going with this?
Yeah, and I don't know, you know, for sure, but you know, Bonnaroo has never run a country headliner that I'm aware of.
No, I don't. I mean, I don't know where you're going with this. It makes sense because it's so close to Nashville, right? I mean, that's part of what brings it
up.
That's
part of it, but part of it is also just it's so huge, especially with that younger generation that they're trying to hit, you know, and that's part of what they're trying to hit with EDM too.
Well, don't
they're looking at the next generation of fans.
Don't forget, though, the CMAs are that same week, or they always were. So it's Nashville,
yeah, they're always the same week. Yeah,
yeah. So Nashville has its country thing, you know.
Yeah. That, so do you think it makes sense for Bonnaroo to try to? Do you think it makes sense for Bonnaroo to try to get a country headliner?
No, what I'm saying is it makes sense for them not to.
Not
to. Why would they compete with CMAs, which is
I think it makes
60
sense
miles away.
If there was something that just worked out to pluck over for one, but I don't know. Your point's accurate, Barry. I don't know. And there's also a lot of artists these days where we can't figure out what they are, like Zach Bryan. Yeah. I've talked about him on many times. I'm
Luke perplexed. Combs. I mean, obviously that's the rumor.
I'm perplexed by these artists. I can't figure. They're not really country, but they are. But they're not. But their country fans are who are their ticket buyers.
I would put it this way, Russ, and I've thought about it since Brad was on, and he very pointedly said, what Bonnaroo tries to book is whatever is the best thing going in music at the time.
Correct. And if it's country, then...
Yeah. So, yeah, 100%. I agree. I agree.
They've also said in other contexts of conversations on what they can and can't afford. And Zach Bryan, who I just mentioned, is filling up football stadiums.
Yeah.
Bonnaroo's not booking Zach Bryan.
No.
He can make more money in football stadiums than he'll ever make at Bonnaroo. So those are the kind of things you're going to run into there. So
yeah. So did we answer your
Just to open ended.
Speculated
question.
Around.
Yeah,
it.
No, I well, get
you know,
it. 100%.
Even Chapel Roan did a country song, you know?
Yeah. Sort of. Somebody did.
For better or worse. Yeah.
And that dumb song is so catchy because, of course, it is because it came out of a lab. Yeah. One day it was in my head. Yeah. I get the job done. I get the job. I was like, oh, why is this in my head? It's because I love Chapel so much, even with this terrible misstep.
I mean, I'm not sure what your actual question is, Russ. I mean, we talked about we wanted Dolly. We wanted Miley. We were going to have Miley. That's country. We were hoping she would bring friends. I mean, Nashville is literally 50 minutes away.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, they have their own thing going. And as Brian pointed out, these guys are filling arenas. So,
well, and believe it or not, people don't just want to play Bonnaroo like we want them.
Correct.
To play. Like there's a lot of artists that have either done it or do so many amazing things on a regular basis. Now that destination festivals and gatherings are so popular, like these guys and bands and women do really unique things every year, multiple times. And so a lot of this is just like, you know, like Miley, that's why I wondered, like, Miley's right up the road. Why is she never booked? Because Miley might not want to play all that much.
Right.
I mean, if it works, great. But I mean, we've heard enough interviews with her and followed her around. I'm a big Miley fan, big Miley fan. But I could see, Bonnaroo. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
I got plenty of other shit to do over here.
We kind of had the chance in 2020, and, you know, I don't know that. I don't know if the stars will align again for her to.
Yeah, I mean, those stars just.
All of that said, I still think the Thursday surprise headliner is going to be a country act. I think it's going to be
a huge
country act.
That's kind of what I was getting at. Do you think they're going to try to run a country?
I've said that from the minute Brad said that. I think so.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have any insight. I just think so.
Well, my final thought on that will be the same thing I probably said last week and probably say several other times, is that for me, and I'm totally biased, but that Thursday night with a classic jam band artist all by itself with all the other stuff going on the other side of Centaroo sounds like the perfect nod to maybe bring in some old types that would not have any interest in Bonnaroo anymore, but... Man, my Panic is playing, or it doesn't have to be Panic, it's String Cheese, or
I'm good with either.
You know, just put something on there that's easy, because Pretty Lights was easy. It's simple. It's not dangerous. It's very easily consumable, and I just thought that was a beautiful start to that Thursday night idea. And I think now if you throw a Panic on there or an Umphrey's McGee, and I don't even like them, or somebody that just kind of like
you don't
a
like
nod,
their one song. You don't like that 90-minute song that they do?
I like the one 90-minute song. I like 90 seconds of the 90-minute song. But I think that would just be a really cool, and maybe they don't see any return on this, but a very cool way to nod back to your roots.
My thought is, I don't care who it is, to me, it's the beauty of the Bonnaroo Festival is I get to see a band that I would not otherwise ever see.
Good point.
Whether it's country or jam or whatever. Yeah.
I agree 100%, but also, I mean, maybe I'm just being too excited over this over the last, 8 months or however long since the announcement of Pretty Lights on that Thursday. I just think it's one of the best decisions Bonnaroo has made in a long time, and it was way overdue. Don't leave that thing dark on a Thursday. Open it up for one act, and it's just like, this is such a game changer for that day for so many different reasons. That's why I think if they go away from it, which they're not.
No, they're not.
If they did, they would be fools, and they're not fools, so they won't do it.
I agree, well, especially keep in mind, when you're bringing people in on Tuesday.
This Thursday artist, they said, approached Bonnaroo and said, we want to play this show. How can we make it work? And they pretty much had all the other nights booked, so they said, well, we can put you on Thursday. So that's how we got this Thursday act this year.
Well, that sounds like they could be Tipper to me, but we'll see.
I don't care who it is.
Yeah.
I think Tipper on Thursday night headliner would be perfect, because the Thursday night headliner on what doesn't need to fill in check boxes or fill any kind of prerequisites or a resume. Like, you don't have to be a traditional headliner everywhere you go. You can get away with this new idea and do it however you want to do it. You could throw
that's interesting.
My point meaning for me, I don't think you gotta wow me with that headliner. Just give me one.
Let's don't do it today, but I want to talk about that idea of headliner. Because I haven't fully formulated my question, but the headliner thing seems to me maybe the definition is changing somewhat.
We could spend some time on that.
Yeah, I'd like, not today, because Fred again sort of asked that. I'll think about that question, but I think it gets to your point, like, you just said you don't care what it is on Thursday. Just do something different because it's Thursday and you can. It's the best stage, the best sound. Everybody's there.
You've
go crazy.
Other than the manpower, if you were trying to cut back on manpower.
Yeah.
But other than the manpower, it's such a simple, just turnkey operation. And I know Brad is right now rolling his eyes. Brian, nothing about this is turnkey. But the point that it's...
Just turn the lights on, Brad. It'll be good.
Like, I know all about this. Just get me to do it. I'll turn it on. I know it's more complicated, but it's the infrastructure's there. Yeah, yeah. It's there. It's ready to go. And it feels like a waste to me. It feels like a waste because also over the years, real quick reset of what we talked about many times is that Thursday on the 10th has become so popular that it's becoming an annoyance because you can't really see the music you want to see because everybody wants to be everywhere. Well, let's open up a 50,000 seat field and put on Graham Nash. For the night, put on Art Garfunkel and friends. Like, I don't care. Put on anything because we'll all go over there and lay in the field and listen to it.
And we've been there since Tuesday, so we're going to go see what.
We'll go sit in the field and we'll do whatever we're going to do and listen to whatever's on the stage. I think it's just an endless possibility of experimentation. I hope they keep doing that.
I agree. All right, guys. Good show.
Yeah, I think that covers everything.
I don't have any clue what we're doing next week. We'll figure it out, but this was another good one.
Yeah, it'll be Thanksgiving weekend, but by that time.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. There you go.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving, and we'll have something to follow up after that. And what it is, I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Hug and howdy your family, and see y'all in a bit. Bye.